This is Papa Smurf. You're listening to Our Lifestyle, the podcast with ODB and the Mayor.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. Not again. Yeah, I learned a game from William Wesley. You can never check me. Back to back for the niggas that didn't get the message. Back to back like I'm on the cover of Lethal Weapon. Back to back like I'm Jordan 96, 97. Whoa. Very important and very pretentious. When I look back, I might be mad that I gave this attention. Yeah, but it's weighing heavy on my conscience.
Yo, 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 Airhead Nation. Battling Bama is coming up soon. Where are you going to be? Battling Bama. Presented by Metal Brothers Hot Rods. This is May 5th through 7th, and it's in Mobile, Alabama, at the USS Alabama Battleship Memorial Park. There is a pre-party, and the pre-party is on the USS Alabama. DJ Get Low is going to be spinning on the ones and twos. There's also going to be a limited edition shirt that had three winners that are going to be featured on the back. Craig Rowley did release the artwork into the Battle in Bama Facebook group. If you want more information, please go and check out facebook.com/battleinbama. You can also follow them on Instagram. Just pull up the Instagram app, type in Battle in Bama, boom, hit follow. Make sure you tell them Our Lifestyle the Podcast sent you. Yo, 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 it's ODB, Our Lifestyle the Podcast, episode 32. This is a continuation from 31 when we had Billy Weekly on talking BMX and talking hardcore car and truck club. But on this episode, we've got Graham Hancock. Now, Graham is an old school mini trucker that's been around the scene for about 20 years. And he hails from Mini Madness. He flies in each year from Utah, so we'll get a chance to give you a little bit of insight into Graham's life. But first, before we talk with Graham, you're going to hear from Brian Good, the leader of Forbidden Fantasy Club and the man behind Forbidden Fantasy Show that actually just transpired just over a week ago. Now, of course, he's got his ensemble of cast, if you will, which is the Forbidden Fantasy Club. You know, they're there to back him, but he's the man with the puppet string, so to speak. Make sure you follow on Instagram, Forbidden Fantasy Show. We're also going to touch upon Grindr TV's Volume 3, which, oh, by the way, is available for pre-order now, and you'll hear an update from Brian during the interview. Now, first, I did want to talk about ODB here, just talking about a few things. We're going to intro this episode. Mike's going to take a break tonight. And the first thing we wanted to talk about is T.I.'s performance at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Now, as everyone knows, Tupac was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year, actually this past weekend. And it finally happened. Now, one of the things that I wanted to talk about was T.I. got razzed really hard for the outfit that he wore during the performance that he put on. And essentially what he was doing was wearing a Tupac looking outfit. I think it was on the cover of Rolling Stones back in 96. It's kind of a leather vest type deal. I know when you first look at it, you're like, eh, it's kind of weird. But he was actually trying to do what many think was a good thing, you know, kind of paying homage to the legend. Now, keep in mind, Tupac was only 25 years old when he passed away. He did a lot in his lifetime, and that was 20 years ago this year. Now, if you check out on Instagram, Troubleman31, that's T.I.'s official Instagram page. And he really, really, really went ham on a lot of these young cats. And I quote, "Y'all young forever commenting over opinionated motherfuckers got shit to say always. When the biggie shit went left because a motherfucker from y'all generation forgot the words, y'all had a fucking fit. Now some real ends with real love in their hearts get up and dedicate themselves to honor the legacy of a true American hip-hop rock and roll legend that would make him and his family proud. It's some negative shit to be said about that as well. Well, just let me say thank you to," and then he names, you know, Snoop and all a whole bunch of other people that were there and performed, and Snoop, of course, inducted him in. So the reason why I bring that up is it was really hot news this past week, and hey, you know, it's kind of pop culture. I'm curious to see what you guys think. We're going to post the photo within the next few days, and make sure you comment on it. Let us know, hey, I mean, was it whack? Or, hey, did he do the right thing, man? Just trying to give it up to the real OG Tupac back in the day. Now, one of the things that we opened this episode episode up to is, of course, Drake with some Back to Back. And that was a huge diss, as many of you know, to Meek Mill. But during that track, Drake actually says, yeah, trigger fingers turn to Twitter fingers. So, you know, one of the things that you'll notice about today's society is everybody wants to comment. Everybody wants to get in there. He has 154,000 some odd likes on this photo. He has a lot of comments. So it's funny how a lot of people just want to get online and, you know, bash someone for what they do. But I don't know, man. I thought he was just trying to give it up to the OG Tupac. So we'll sound off later when we post the photo. Been 1 week since episode 31. Mike Murray has been heavily promoting Slamfest, as everyone knows, via social media. Main thing he wants to send is get those pre-registrations in. You can head over to minimadness.com and print out the form and send it. Hey, the main message here is you're saving yourself money. So definitely get that pre-order in. Or, excuse me, the pre-order. Get that pre-registration. I'm thinking phones. Now, the other piece is this. If you have a super clean vehicle and you're looking to leave it Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you know, you have to arrive on Friday. You have to leave it till after trophies on Sunday. You can pay $75 and you can be featured indoors at the fairgrounds. So get with Mike Murray if you got questions on that. Couple updates on my side. I'm dropping off a transmission this week for hashtag JFK ride. So I've taken a mental break and a physical break from this project for a little while, and I'm ready to get back on it and get this thing running. Now, this past Saturday, I drove the C30 pretty much all over Tampa, had a great time, hung out with the big homie, Tony Boss Bolin. We went hitting some junkyards, and we also hit an old bike shop looking for some parts. And it was a good time, man. So it's great to be able to jump into something and cruise and kind of just, you know, kick back and not have to wrench every single day. Now, also, speaking of cruising, the big homie Eric Mexican came through to the crib over this past weekend to just kind of chill for a few minutes. It's always great having Eric come by. He's got a kick-ass S10, you guys already know, and it was painted over at Simplistic Fabrication, which Richard is the man behind the curtain there from Acrophobia, and that's in South Tampa. So for anyone that needs some paint work in the Tampa Bay area, make sure you get out Richard at Simplistic Fabrication. Next, kind of from a sports perspective. So Tony Romo announced his retirement since our last episode. So the Romo haters were definitely full force. I wasn't really expecting him to retire, although I can totally understand. There were a lot of rumors of him going to the Texans and some of these other teams and that type of thing. But at least I believe in his contract, he could control his own destiny. And he did. So I'm sure, and I think they already said, he's going to end up on TV somewhere as a broadcaster, making probably more money than he would have playing. I was never necessarily a Romo fan, but I'm definitely not a Romo hater. I know Brett Favre actually knocked him out of the playoffs. I think he only won one playoff game. But Favre, when he was with Minnesota, actually took out Romo that year. I think it was in the second round. So long story short, Tony Romo, he's going goodbye from the NFL. Now next, I did want to mention I purchased an 88 Mongoose M1 Mini for my son. I'm looking for a new seat for it. That was the only thing that the bike doesn't really have. And of course, I need to add some brakes to it. So that's going to be a cool little project that should be showing up. I think I got the tracking number earlier today. It's going to be here next Monday. So I'll be posting photos of that. I put one on my personal Instagram at BD94S10 so you can check it out. It was actually a photo from the original 1988 catalog, so it was pretty cool. Now, Tony, my big homie, Tony Boss Bolin, he also copped a new 29-inch bike, and we put it together. This is a Public Enemy Big Ripper bike by SE Bikes. And many of you know there's the name PK Ripper. This one's referred to as the Big Ripper. And the 29-inch bike, it's a single speed. Man, that thing is awesome. He let me ride it around after we put it together. Wow. Dude, I got to get a 29-inch bike is all I can say. When you put the 29-inch wheel up to the old school Mongoose that I have with a 20-inch wheel, man, it just reminds me of mini trucks going from 15s to, I don't know where we're at, 24s on minis now. It's just insane. So definitely check out, if you're a bike fan or you're looking to get outside, man, check out some of those 29-inch bikes, man. They are insane. SE Bikes, definitely big shout out to them. So next on the radar, we got Battle in Bama with Craig Riley. It's really something that we're seeing that Craig ramp up on from a social media standpoint on Facebook and Instagram. So please make sure you go out on Instagram. It's Battle in Bama altogether. And then also on Facebook, it's facebook.com/Battle in Bama. You can, of course, just search on Facebook, Battle in Bama, but make sure you're following these pages. The show is going to be May 5th, 6th, and 7th in Mobile, Alabama at the USS Alabama, 2703 Battleship Parkway. You heard the little jingle that we did earlier, and that's kind of giving it up to Craig and the whole crew there that's behind that show. We're really looking forward to it. Now, during Brian Good's interview, you're going to hear, we're going to talk briefly about Low Life Mikey's recent post to YouTube. If you want to check out about a 30-minute, really kick-ass, kind of mini-truck-inspired video, hit up YouTube and make sure you subscribe to Low Life Videos channel. Low Life Mikey's been around a long time, and they actually did a quick little, about 60-second video for Battle in Bama. It's really cool. Check it out, and check out the recent video that he posted on YouTube. So just to be clear, the little commercial that they did was on Instagram, Low Life Videos, and the 30-minute episode that he uploaded, that's actually on YouTube. So iTunes, make sure you go out and you hit up iTunes and you leave us a rating. Mention your Instagram handle. We'll definitely shout you out. We appreciate all the continued support. Many of you are probably scratching your head and asking, why do they continue to promote iTunes? As you know, you've heard me say, iTunes really kind of led the effort with podcasting, and it's really the hub, if you will, for where podcasts are listened to and streamed and things like that are downloaded. Now, it doesn't mean that everyone uses iTunes, because many of you use Google Play Music or Podbean or Stitcher or any one of these, I'd say, hundreds of podcast apps. But iTunes is really that central hub. So the more ratings that we get there, it helps us kind of move up the ranks. Sometimes we'll land on that most listened to page and things like that. But it really helps other people that might be interested in the whole automotive mini truck scene, tech shows, you know it. It helps them find us. So definitely thanks for the continued support. Now, I definitely want to give a huge shout out to all of our past guests. You know, oftentimes when we have a guest on, we're collaborating with them during the week. You know, we have a, 30-minute to an hour plus interview, and we spend a lot of time posting about those individuals and kind of promoting that episode of the podcast. And we don't always get a chance, weeks or months later to really sink back and check in on them. Some of them we talk to more than others, but, from everyone that's been on the past 31 episodes, we just want to say thanks. Without the support and you guys coming on, we wouldn't be able to do what we're doing. You would get very bored listening to Mike, the mayor, and I do our thing. So it's great to be able to have a lot of support from the scene. Definitely appreciate that. So without further ado, we give you Brian Good, and we also give you Graham Hancock, episode 32, which is titled Hardcore Part 2. We appreciate y'all. Peace. Yo, it's Our Lifestyle, the podcast, episode 32. This is Hardcore Part 2, and one of the big homies that has been hardcore in the scene for a long time, he's got a lot to talk about in terms of Forbidden Fantasy, but it's Brian Good, the man, the myth, the legend. What's going down, Brian?
How's it going, man?
Hey, man, everything is good. We really wanted to have you on because one of the things that just transpired last weekend was an epic show. We saw the big homie Jameel from down South Florida. He got a little shout out, and we'll talk a little bit more about that on the Forbidden Fantasy Instagram. But man, dude, what a show. And Brian, you're the guy behind the curtain, and you're the leader of Forbidden Fantasy. So I just want to kind of check in, man, and see how it's going.
It's going. I think I'm finally recovered.
I know, right?
That sun will beat you up, man. And it probably took everybody out for a few days. I think everybody was hyped up, and then by the time they got home, man, it just sucked the energy right out of you.
Yeah, for sure. Well, one of the things that we noticed, for those that couldn't make the show, we saw all these photos popping up, which was fantastic on Instagram and Facebook and whatnot. It seems like from a wrap-up perspective, everything was like a success. I mean, you filled the show grounds with, you know, the amount of vehicles you wanted. We could talk a little bit more about that. But I mean, how would you say overall it went, Brian?
100% successful. I mean, we just a little bit of back history on the show.
Okay.
This was the 20th show, the 20th annual show. We did the first 2 years in Moreno Valley, California, in Southern California, at a tiny little amusement park. And then after that, we did at the Lake Paris Fairgrounds, because we grew out of that other place. And Lake Paris Fairgrounds, we were 600-800 cars a year, and it just got too much. You know what I mean? Every year the fairgrounds implemented more rules, to the point where people couldn't bring in their own food, their own drinks, their nothing. So we were just over that. So we went to Laughlin and found the Avi. The last 2 years has been exactly what we wanted it. A smaller show, higher quality vehicles, you know, and everyone can have fun. They can bring their ice chest. They can bring their own food. Your hotel room's right there. The pool's right there. Everything's right there. So
yeah, that's really rad. And one of the things that when I first had met you, you know, we were talking about the shows and the old school and stuff. Now, when I look at the artwork, we know that it was presented by Vayer, which was an awesome partnership, by the way. But when I look at the artwork, one of the things that you kind of let me know, and I wanted to let the listeners know, is like you kind of bake in different things, right? There's usually sometimes like a theme. Was there really, I mean, obviously there's kind of the theme of the casino this year, but can you give us a little insight into the artwork for the shirt this year?
Yeah. Well, the way we do the artwork is we pick two vehicles from our club that have been worked on the most, or the people, or two people that have been really involved in the last year. And then that's how we choose the vehicles. And we don't tell the people that we chose, so it's kind of a surprise when they see it. And then as far as the artwork goes, I try to implement current events along with the art, as far as where the show is. So last year we did the river. We did you see the two trucks, they're on rafts, and they're like going up to, like, we're back, you know what I mean? We're back at the river. And this year it was the casino theme with the slot machine. You know, you hit the three Fs and all the money came out. But yeah, we just try to be a little bit different and try to let the guys over at Fuel Market be, give them an idea, and then they just kind of go at it.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that because Fuel Market, I mean, a lot of the listeners already know, like, if you're a show promoter or you're someone that's been in the scene, you just automatically know when you see the Fuel Market. And I think it's FUELMKRT.com, but they do fantastic artwork and arguably the baddest in the scene. So I love that you guys continue to work with them, Brian.
Yeah, it's definitely a relationship that's not going anywhere. As long as they're willing to do it, that's where we're going to go.
That's what's up, man. Now, we saw a lot of the top clubs supporting the event, and I was on Instagram just a little while ago. For all the listeners, make sure that you follow. It's at @FFF_show. And one of the cool things, I know, you know, you're a man of many trades and you got a lot going on. I know you couldn't post all throughout the show, but you kind of, what I noticed, posted a few of the big clubs, right? And it wasn't just to highlight them. It was to highlight, you know, the support that they give. So, you know, what's it like to have all the clubs really kind of come together and support your event, man?
Feels really good. You know, it's we've been friends with you know, our club's been friends with a lot of these other guys for a long time, so it's kind of like we wanted to provide a place for our friends to come and enjoy, you know what I'm saying? So it's more of a car show. It's kind of like a gathering of our friends in other clubs. So to see all these other clubs that you know, big and small, that come together and have a good time, man, that's just it's definitely why I do it. Definitely why the club does it.
Yeah. And speaking of that, one thing I wanted to say, this just came to mind, dude, is, you know, we've seen a lot of shows come and go, but one of the things, I mean, I've been around you. I mean, you have never once, and you've never posted, as far as I can see, anything that has to do with money with the show. I mean, granted, you may, behind the scenes, there's a lot of logistics that we don't know about. But sometimes, like lately, we've been seeing show promoters like talking about almost like, you know, bringing the stress from behind the scenes to the forefront. And to me, I don't necessarily like that. I really like how you go about it and kind of what you just said. You're putting a show on more for the scene, not, you know, not to collect money on. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, a show has to make money. There's no other way to say it. But, you know, like I said, when we were at Paris, that's when the stress was starting to get to us.
Uh-huh.
We were having to put our own money for that, just because we weren't making enough money for the following year. and then crossing our fingers that it didn't rain or that people showed up.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's why we kind of had this. It wasn't fun for us as a club, and it was starting to affect the show entirely. And then when that happens, it's not fun for the people coming. So we had to kind of put the brakes on and kind of go back to why we did this.
And for Airhead Nation out there, just know that, like, what Brian's saying is the truth. I mean, shows have to make the money. But the great thing is you got someone like Brian and the entire Forbidden Fantasy crew. Instead of throwing the towel in, saying, you know, we've been around 17, 18 years, whatever, you know, 18-ish years, let's just throw the towel in. It's like, you know what, let's reset the shot clock. You know, maybe there's a bigger city. Maybe there's a better place. So, you know, we appreciate you as a show promoter, if you will, at least for Forbidden Fantasy Show and Shine, doing that and keeping it around, man, because that's what keeps the scene alive, as you know, Brian.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I mean, I'm not going to – we did it just as much for ourselves as we did for everybody else.
Got it.
You know what I mean? Because our club, I want them to have a good time, and I want as much as I want every other club to have a good time, because if we're not having a good time, people in the club aren't going to want to show up.
Yep. And help and all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, like, what I wanted to mention is I noticed that you had mentioned the other day that Avi Resort and Casino, it seemed like they were pretty stoked based upon what you had posted on Facebook. You know, and it was pretty rad to read that, you know, they were stoked to have the Mini Truckers back for next year is what it sounds like. But do you have any updates or anything to add to that in terms of FFF for 2018, Brian?
Like you said, they're super stoked. So we're definitely going to be back. We don't have dates yet. Easter weekend falls on the very first weekend of April. So we need to decide. We need to make a decision there. But yeah, and they're redoing the entire grass area for next year too. So there's going to be more grass area next year. And so we're pretty excited about that.
Yeah, that's kick ass. Now, what the listeners are going to hear after this piece is Graham Hancock. He's been around a long time. Graham actually was able to go to the show last Sunday, I think it was. He really enjoyed it. And he kind of brought up a subject, and I wanted to kind of ask you in terms of, you know, we saw Camp and Drag recently, where it's all pre-registration. I think LST was as well. Can you give the listeners a little bit of insight into, was it like 200 or 300 vehicles? Was it for space, or was there like another logic behind that, Brian?
Space. It's just pretty simple. The grass area, we only put, you know, the painted vehicles on there, or the finished vehicles, should I say. And then the asphalt area is for vendors and under construction vehicles. So there's only so much space, there. And we figure we can fit about 350 vehicles total. So we limited it 300, and then we saved 50 spots because we know people will forget to pre-reg. So we kind of...
That's cool that you did that. Now, all the conspiracy theories out there, right? You know, everybody with the tinfoil hats, they were saying, oh, they don't want any primered stuff. And man, they're just catering to all the cool guys and chicks, right? But we know that's not true. And Brian just spit the facts right there. It's like, bottom line, it's space. And when Brian kind of talks about they're redoing it for next year, I mean, you put two and two together and bam, it means there's going to be probably way more than 300, wouldn't you say, Brian?
I don't know about way more. We'll have to see how,
like,
they
50
do it,
more, but, you know, 50, you know.
Yeah. And again, I'm good with 300 cars. If we want all the clubs to bring the best of the vehicles that they have. We don't want them to bring all the vehicles they have. That's why we do not have a club participation trophy, because we want, like I said, we want the best of the best there from each club. And then everybody, you know what I mean, everybody else to come and support those guys. And then that might influence the other guys to finish their vehicles or to work on their cars. And, you know, there was a bunch of guys out there this year that weren't going to finish their trucks until they came to the show last year. And they were like, nope, now I'm going to finish my truck.
Yeah, that's kick-ass. And something that just came to mind, I never got a chance to go to the Cal Truck Jamborees, but a couple things. One, obviously, I saw it in all the magazines back in the day, and, you know, I was just getting in the scene, and I just remember it was like click. Like, I would think of that show as so much quality, and then back in the day, Steve from Altered Images, he had sent me, I don't know, I was buying stuff from him when I first got in the scene, he sent me a VHS tape. No, it wasn't anything illegal. It was actually old-school stuff, but the Cal Truck Jamboree shows were on there, and that's when you describe these like high quality vehicles are at the show, that's what I almost imagine. Like, I imagine like the mid to late 90s when, man, Cal Truck was jamming and you had like all the best of the best there. So that's a really cool idea, man.
Yeah, a lot of people were a little upset the first year, and then obviously there was that whole confusion about the dub vehicles and stuff like that. And yeah. You know, those guys roll really deep, those, you know, Swift, Nocturnal, those type of clubs.
Yep.
And so I just wanted them to know that this is a mini truck show, and if they rolled 150 of their cars out there, then it's going to just not leave enough room for the mini truck guys. So
yeah, it was no love lost. It was just like, hey, this is, you know, this is the event that you're trying to put on, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, and people take things differently, and it'll take it, like I said, like you said, it's going to take 1, 2, 3 years for everyone to realize what we're doing, and then it'll be fine after that.
Yeah, you know it, man. So if you could share one thing with the showgoers that'll kind of tie into next year's event, you know, obviously it's a little bit ways out, but anything that you wanted to share with anyone besides following the Instagram page, man?
I don't think so. I think we're gonna have as far as trophies go, we have top 75 and then we have like 20 best ofs, but I think next year we're gonna have to do like a Fabulous Five mini trucks or something like that, just because of the amount of high caliber mini trucks. I mean, I haven't seen that in a long time. So
I know I saw Fester brought out the Ranger and stuff like that. I mean, it's just kind of gives you goosebumps. It gives me goosebumps, man, just seeing some of those rides. And, you know, I'll be honest, I had every intention to go, and I had a week off of vacation a couple weeks before the show. And we basically had Samsung pre-order. So I kind of had to really stay back, you know, so it's weird how things work out, but I really am looking forward to 2018. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's hard to choose too. There's so many good shows out there that everybody wants to go to, and you got to kind of pick and choose because you can't go to them all.
Exactly. Well, before we end, you know, this, we definitely appreciate your time. We know you're a busy guy, but as everyone knows, Brian, we talk a lot about the Grindr TV. So as we transition to that for just a moment, I just wanted to kind of reinforce to everyone that Volume 3 is in the work, that Blu-ray and DVD, I believe, right, Brian?
Yes.
And now one thing that I have noticed is a lot of, I'd say, individuals and companies and different, I'd say, media outlets, they're really utilizing YouTube to their advantage. And I know that you've done that as well. So make sure everyone goes out and subscribe, if you will, to Grindr TV's YouTube channel. But after Volume 3 launches, I kind of had talked with you and I heard you kind of saying a few things at a few shows. Is there anything that's in the works for Grindr TV? Any changes, if you will, or anything that you're looking to do more on YouTube?
Like you said, just to follow up on the Volume 3, that will be done this week. We had a couple of little hiccups as far as features and all that good stuff, and I'm always late on everything as usual, so I think everyone expected it to be a few months late. So, after Volume 3 launches, that's it. No more DVDs. We're gonna just go hardcore into the YouTube thing, because what happens is when we go to release these DVDs, we're 3 and 4 months with nothing on our YouTube channel. And for anyone that has or wants to start a YouTube channel, the only way to do it successfully is to be, you have to be regular.
Jammer.
You know what I mean? You got to be consistent, or else your followers just fall off. So we're just going to go hard into the YouTube channel, and we're going to do a couple short documentary style clips. We're going to do, you know, the regular show coverage that we do now. We're going to do features. I've got another project that we're working on that's going to be pretty intense. There's definitely a lot of stuff being planned out.
Yeah, we'd love to have you back on and talk about that when the time is right. Now, if you go to YouTube now and type in Grindr TV, you're going to see that Brian and team, if you will. I say team, but Brian's really the guy with all the puppet strings back there running the show. He's got 97 videos. Now, Brian, I did want to mention this. It just kind of came to mind. This week, I know it's a homie / competition, I think, if you will. But this week, Low Life Mikey, on their channel, they did release a video. And when I finally finished watching it the other day, which, by the way, it was pretty well produced, I saw your name at the end, that you were the drone operator, correct? So, like, you know Low Life Mikey, and you guys have teamed up a little bit over the years, correct?
Oh yeah, for sure. We help each other out, and he's lives out here by me now. I helped him out a little bit with that show, doing some filming for him and the drone stuff, and he helped me doing some filming for the DVD. So yeah, definitely just helping each other out. I think that's the only way that progress happens, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. It's kind of funny you say that. I'll just leave on this because we're not going to get into this, but I watched an interview this week with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and it was actually a really cool interview, and he kind of said the same thing. He said, like, in politics, like, you can't just continue to fight each other. You almost have to come together and work things out. So it's great that it's not like the Bloods and Crips, man. You know, it's like you guys could slap hands. But, you know, again, just want to give a quick shout out, Low Life Video. And the reason why I wanted to do that is they also produced a cool little video for Craig for Battle in Bama, which we're going to talk more about that in a future episode. But, you know, it's always good to pull up with Brian. Brian's a very busy guy. He kind of keeps busy. And as he mentioned with the DVD, make sure you go to grindr-tv.com and pre-order it. Like I said, I tell you guys, don't just order the DVD. make sure you also order the Blu-ray. It's a couple dollars more. It's worth it. Maybe you'll get a free sticker. Who knows? You know, Brian gets a little crazy sometimes.
But yeah, they all come with free stickers.
See, I was going to say, hey, you know, OLP Nation, you know, you get a free sticker. No, I'm just kidding. But listen, Brian, we appreciate your time, dude. Please keep us in mind in the future if you ever want to drop something new, man. We're here to hammer out Airhead Nation. You know how we do, bro.
Yeah, man, I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you got it, man. You take care, brother.
All right, you too.
Yo, 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 it's ODB, Our Lifestyle, the podcast, episode 31, titled Hardcore. And, you know, we talk to Billy weekly from Hardcore Minis, but we also got Graham Hancock from Mini Madness, and he has been hardcore for the scene for a very, very, very long time. What's going on, Graham?
Hey, how's it going, boss?
Not too much, man. You're going to learn a lot about Graham, but first, we kind of wanted to start off. So listen, Graham, when I met you back in the 90s, I'd say early 2000s, you know, you were in Florida. Now you're out in Utah. So can you give the listeners like a little bit of background on who's Graham Hancock?
Just a little bit on that. I'm actually born and raised in Florida until I was about 13. And then I came home one day, and my mom's like, hey, we're moving to Utah. I was like, well, I'm 13, so all right, I got no choice in the matter.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so I moved out here, kind of grew up out here, I'd say. And then, you know, right after high school, you know, I came back to Florida because, you know, that's what I knew, you know, as my sister was still there, I had a bunch of friends still there, and I'd come home every summer. Everybody's out partying, everybody, you know, every week there was something, every night there was something different. So I was like, oh, that's where I'm supposed to be, you know what I mean? So right after high school, I moved back. And then, you know, I kind of, you know, made my life there, you know, met a lot of people, met you, met Vic, ended up in Mini Madness, met that whole crew and, you know, and their family. And then things in my life changed, you know, and I decided if I was going to start over my life, I was going to start back over where I wanted to be. And that's truthfully how here in Utah, you know.
Yeah, for sure, man. And kind of, you know, you giving me the kind of story, you know, I'm an 80s child too. It was kind of reminding me of one Daniel LaRusso from Karate Kid. You know, he moved from I think it was like Newark, New Jersey, you know, to Reseda, LA, or wherever the heck it was.
Reseda.
There you go. And you know, it's kind of like when you're at a certain age in your life, and my dad kind of talks about this because his, you know, parents or mom moved around a lot. It's like, hey, we're moving, you know. It's like whatever you can fit in the car. And you know, that's the way kind of life was. But, you know, what's cool is with the story that you kind of told, and what I want to reinforce to the whole Airhead Nation is that with Graham, it wasn't just about, okay, I'm going to move and I'm going to start over and I'm going to do this. Like, Graham flies out, and we'll talk a little bit about this. He flies out, you know, often to help his fellow brothers and sisters in Mini Madness with Slam Fest, which, you know, as everyone knows, was, oh, by the way, and voted into the Mini Truck Hall of Fame last year, so congrats on that. But, you know, what was cool was, like, you didn't turn your back on the scene. You didn't turn your back on your friend. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Yep.
So I thought that was pretty cool. So
yeah, man, I love being part of it. It's something that I always do. As long as the show's going on, I'm gonna do my part, you know, whether big or small, you know what I mean? I do what I can from out here, so.
Yeah, for sure. Now, one thing that I like, Graham, is like when you kind of, I'll call you the MC, right? Because you help a lot on the stage when you come out.
And what
I like is, like, you know, when you're introducing some of these awards to guys, you know, you're kind of saying, hey, man, if you haven't checked out Vic's truck, his Nissan super clean, like, it's kind of like a very, it's very wholesome because, you know the trucks, you know the owners, you know, you've slapped hands with them and stuff. But what is it like, you know, kind of contributing and helping Mike Murray and the entire Mini Madness Club, like when you fly in for Slam Fest?
Oh man, I love it. Like, it kind of sucks in one respect, you know, kind of get this in and out of the way. It kind of sucks because I'm only come in for like 3 days, you know what I mean? So I fly in like Friday morning, my man Daniel picks me up, and then we drive up to Gainesville, kind of do whatever we can. I try to get some rest, and then we get about it, you know, Saturday, Sunday. And then I normally end up leaving, you know, thanks to like Nate and Jess, they always end up taking me back to my town so I can kind of visit and I can kind of make a full trip out of it. So it kind of sucks that I'm living in time when I come. But I love doing what I can. It means a lot that I get to come in and help out, you know, whether large or small. And there's a lot of people who can't just hop on the mic and talk. There's a lot of of people who can't jump into the judges circle and do what we do, you know, and I really enjoy being part of that. And I love every bit of it, and I'll keep doing it as long as I can. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, man. And it takes commitment, like I said, because a lot of guys, they move, you know, life changes and stuff. But I think it's really cool that, you know, we all have, you know, things in life that change. But it's cool that we can keep one foot or one leg in the scene, if you know what I mean. So
yeah, for sure.
I think that's cool. Now, one of the things I have to ask you is, when I think of, you know, Mike Murray, the mayor, and I think of Mini Madness, you know, I think of a smaller club. Like, I just, you know, I did the interview with Billy, and Billy's in Hardcore Minis, and it's a smaller club. But for someone like you, like, you've had some really cool vehicles, and we'll talk a little bit about those over the years. But, you know, why has Graham remained committed to a smaller club overall, which, by the way, again, I think is kick-ass, dude.
Yeah, yeah. And I appreciate that, you know, because a lot of people, like, especially yourself, you know, you're in Severed Ties. That's one of, like, the elite, you know what I mean? But I will tell you the exact reason why. So I moved back from Utah, and I knew some negative camber people out here. You know, they kind of got me into loving the truck scene and everything like that. But then I moved out to Florida, and I ended up just, like, cruising down Dale Mabry, and I ended up going into, like, some Bill Cox show.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up running into some, you know, someone from Negative Camber. And I was just like, yeah, you know, my buddy back home, he's a Negative Camber member. And he's like, oh yeah, who? So I told him his name. And it was Troy Hamilton that lives out here, still one of my best friends. And a boy was like, oh yeah, I don't know who that is. And like, this was kind of like, you know, early 2000s, I think it might have been like 2000 on the nose. Uh-huh. And, you know, the scenes were real big then, but like, you didn't know who your own club member was. And that kind of got at me, you know, like, this is your brother and you don't know who it is.
Got it.
So never mind the fact that Negative Camber is one of the top clubs. Like, if you just say you're a Negative Camber, everybody's like, I don't know what you have, but I know it's bad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And like you're saying,
I ain't taking nothing from it.
Exactly. And it's not a diss, but it's kind of like, you know, we're going to talk a little bit later about, you know, built versus bought, right? Everybody has their opinion.
Right.
But
yep.
To me, one of the very cool, like, down the earth type things is when, you know, some guys, they want to be in a smaller club because it's like, hey, it feels more like a family. And so,
right,
you know,
for sure.
I definitely can understand that. And I appreciate the kind of the candor and the honesty because, you know, that's what makes this podcast better when we can, you know, keep it real, so to speak.
Yeah. And I'm not trying to be negative on that at all. But for me, that's what meant a lot to me. You know what I mean?
Because right, like, and my club, stuck in your head.
Yeah. But like, my club, we're not only mini truckers. You know what I mean? Like, we get together for barbecues. We get together for Christmases. And I'm not saying we're the only club that does this. Look at us. We're crazy amazing.
Right.
But like, that's what I loved about my club. You know, like, we used to go play like broom hockey back in the day. And like, we do things as a club other than just sit in the garage and work on trucks. If that's what you want to do, cool. But that's not my life. That's not what I do in my life. So I wanted people around me that did the same things that I do. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, and appreciated kind of some of the simpler things. And I know it might sound cliche, but, you know, Vic and I recently spoke about this. And, you know, one thing, we all love mini trucks. We all love airbags and lifted trucks. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit about this, but, you know, you took us out and showed us an awesome time, you know, out in Utah with the side-by-sides and stuff. But the thing that I've learned as I've gotten older is that, listen, you know, someone might say, oh, he's bad about it, or this guy's hardcore, which is the name of this episode, by the way. But I think overall, you can't live, no matter what you do, whether you're a gangster and you're in a mobster or you're a mini trucker, you can't do it 24/7, 365 every second of the day. And that's one of the cool things about the club that you kind of mentioned. I talk to Mike Murray all the time. He's like, oh, we're going up to the lake house. We're going to go do this. And it's just like a general weekend. And I'm thinking bigger clubs can't even get together. You know, I'll keep my name out of this one, but sometimes we can't even get our own chapter together once in a year. Let alone, kind of get together and kind of shoot the shit. So I definitely appreciate that about Mini Madness. But, you know, as we kind of transition and talk about some of the builds, right?
Yeah.
You know, when I first had, you know, when I basically first found out who you were and kind of shook hands with you back in the day, you had a Nissan Hardbody that was pretty crazy. And then a few years ago, you had a Nissan Titan that Max the Fish, you know, built the spindles. But did you want to give us a little bit of insight into like some of the vehicles, whether it be those or, you know, whatever else you want to talk about, man?
Yeah. yeah, for sure. So I originally got into the scene. I ended up having a bagged hard body. It was a 95 Nissan hard body, single cab. And man, I love that thing. You know, I got it. I was the coolest thing in the world, man. I had like the 14 or 15 inch steelies on it with like some low pros. And I had that thing on airbags with, you know, the manual valves, you know, the quarter inch manual valves.
Yep.
Man, that thing was slow as can be. But
yeah,
bro, I rode it out, man.
Hell like, yeah.
I love that thing. And then I'll try to keep this story because it's kind of long,
yeah.
Truthfully. But I'll try to keep it short and sweet. But I went to Indy Truck Bash one year, and I had just gotten like the four link done. I just got 18s on it. I had a KMC Nemesis on it. It was looking good. I loved it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And then I get a call Saturday morning while at Indy Truck Bash that my wheels were stolen off my truck.
Back home.
While I was out of state. You know what I mean? And they left it on blocks and wrecked the rockers and, you know, folded the bedside and just really messed stuff up. So there was a shop down the road that I'd always see. There was this laid out Mazda, and this thing was pretty cool. Like, it had like real subtle things that I like, you know, the drip rails were shaved, it has suicide doors and just some like real kind of cool things. So I went into him and I was just like, hey man, you know, I got this truck, you know, I'm gonna need some work done to it. So he ends up telling me, you know, he's fitting opening up his own shop and he wants to do some more work like what I want to get done. So long story short, him and I end up like working out this deal where we would, you know, I'd come in and work for him on the weekends and whatnot and nights. And
yeah.
We'd get my truck done. Yeah.
Right.
So we end up like just spitballing and we go from shaving the body line to let's just cut the body line out of it. Okay. Well, now we got a 2-inch section on this thing. So then we get the section done and we're like, well, now the roof looks silly. Well, let's do a 2-inch chop top, you know, bring it all back together.
Right.
So then, you know, Jimmy from Jimmy Rosin Customs, one of my, you know, really good friends, he built a frame for me. So we threw the frame underneath, and then we end up like the motor was going to be too big. So we end up putting a rotary motor in it. So, I mean, here I am. I got a 2-inch chop top, 5 3/4-inch body drop, and a 2-inch section on a hard body.
Right.
But the thing was, it still looked proportional. So I loved it. So, you know, we get all that done, you know, and then things happen in his life where he ended up moving shops. You know, his business partner left and then he wasn't able to maintain. Then he ended up moving shops and I was helping him out more than he was helping me, but it is what it is. So then we start building it a little bit more. And then he ends up moving back to a shop at his parents' house. And that was kind of like the beginning of the end. And you know, like I said, I ended up moving back here. Right before I moved back here, I like went to him, I'm like, look, I'm not gonna be able to finish the truck, I'm not gonna be able to take it with me, I gotta sell it. So I go to pick it up, and he wouldn't let me pick it up. He's like, you know, let me buy it. Well, he didn't have the money to buy it, so then he, you know, and essentially just ended up stealing the truck. So that was the demise of the hard body.
Yeah, it's a tough story, and I appreciate you sharing it with us. You know, I have heard some of it through the grapevine, and I, you know, I never really knew exactly what had happened, but, you know, to kind of tie in, I don't know if you know this, but I had a little bit of business dealings with the same individual we're talking about, and, you know,
yeah,
I had my 95 Suburban.
Yeah, the Suburban, right?
Yeah.
Because I actually helped with that a little bit. That was the time that my hard body was being built.
Crazy. And then what had happened was he ended up at a shop, you know, he bounced around, as you pointed out, he ended up on one on 54 here, and my buddy Russ at the time goes, oh, man, you know, so-and-so, you know, he's over here now. And I was like, you know, my buddy had bagged the truck, you know, my buddy Matt, but I needed to get some finish work done. You know, let's keep the fumes from coming in, because, you know, I was getting ready to have a baby and stuff. And I'm like, I got a nitrogen tank back there. That's bad enough. My in-laws are like freaking out. And then here I am, you know, I got a little bit of fumes coming through, had to get the exhaust and all that. But, you know, long story short, that it's, I mean, sometimes those bad situations, you know, there's only a little bit of good sometimes that can come out. But I think the good was, is that, you know, what I'm hearing, right, is you were able to kind of sever in your mind, right, the bad, and you kind of just moved on.
And it is what it is. Like, am I upset with it? Yeah, but like, really, what good is it for me to carry that hate? You know what I mean? Like, it's a truck, it's a material thing, and like, truthfully, I had time into that truck. I didn't have a ton of money into it. I had that truck for years. So, I mean, can I say I was out this, I was out that? Yeah, I can. But, like, it would take more for me to, like, carry that hate with me than to just let it go. You know what I mean?
And,
so.
And it takes a big man to say that. And listen, some of my friends recently got ripped off from another person, and it's very difficult. I know it's easier said, like, when I'm like, oh, yeah, just forget about it. I mean, just move on. You know, it's like, hey, you know, you weren't ripped off for X amount of money or X amount of time or product or whatever you've got. But, I mean, listen, man, you know, it's great that you kind of moved on. Now, when you did move, I remember right before we started recording here, we were kind of throwing around that, you know, obviously Jimmy at Jimmy's Rod and Customs, I mean, he is like the Nissan Titan King, the way I look at Bow Down. You know, he's got a badass truck. But, you know, you had a bag Nissan Titan back in the day. I think you since sold it, but like Max the Fish, or Max the Max Fish, if you will, he built the spindles, I think, for it. But what was it like driving a full size, you know, and really kind of having a truck that was like you could drive anywhere, bro?
Yeah, that was it was cool. And like, you know, I didn't get to appreciate that truck long enough due to my career and everything like that. But like, it was fun, man. Like, I love driving that truck. I could get in it and go down to Vegas and didn't have to worry about it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And like, it was just nice to have a super reliable vehicle. And like, you know, growing up when, you know, I had my 95 hard body, you never knew if that thing was going to make it, you know, like,
yes.
Man, I rode that thing out, but like, if that thing broke down, it was just broke down. I didn't know what to do. You know what I mean? Like, you know, so it was super nice to have, you know, a newer truck. It was only, it was only 3 years old when I started cutting into it. And, you know, and I loved, you know, cause not many people could say they had a bag Titan. Still to this day, there aren't that many.
Yeah. There's a handful. You know? Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. But then I also had mine on 26, which is a huge, huge difference, I come to find out as we're cutting into it.
Yeah, that's the one you want to start finding out, right? You're like, oh, yeah, just got to cut all this out.
I'm like, oh, we would have went with 24s. We wouldn't have done any of this.
Right. You're like, damn, man, I'm going to just swap wheels. Yeah, well, what was cool is like when Jimmy was building my truck and I got a chance to really get to know Jimmy as a person, he's one of the hardest working guys out there. And the reason why I loved, like, you know, we'd be working he'd be working and I'd be just like, you know, just watching in amazement. And, you know, we'd run up and we'd get a bite to eat and he'd go, hey, I'll drive. And before even he had converted his and kind of swapped, you know, all the parts and started making it a dually, I mean, he would talk about the creature comforts and you'd get in and he'd air it up. And at the time, you know, he didn't have the actuaries. Like, man, you know, he just air it up just enough and he would cruise. Yeah. And literally it was like just driving in a Cadillac. You know, I don't know any other way to explain it. And when you have quality work and you have quality parts, you know, to your point, you have a quality ride and you have something that you feel like you can drive. There's nothing worse than driving in something, whether it's bagged or not, when you're like, dude, I don't know if I'm going to make it, man. Is this thing going to overheat? Exactly. That's cool. But okay, well, so kind of shifting gears, right? So the great thing about having Graham Hancock on today is he also attended Forbidden Fantasy, so out in Forbidden Fantasy Show and Shine in Laughlin. So give us an idea, like how long was the drive for you, or do you hop on a plane?
No, I just got to drive out because I'm you came out to visit. I'm only about an hour and a half out of Vegas, and I got some friends out there, so I drove about an hour and a half, and I met up with my buddy, and then I drove. It was about another hour and a half. So I'm total 3 hours from my house to Laughlin.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now, how
super,
like,
super easy to drive.
The show grounds, right? So the I think it's Avi Resort. I mean,
yeah,
when
like,
I looked at the
something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, some crazy stuff. I mean, to me, like I looked at it and I was like, dude, I mean, really, really cool. So, I mean, what did you think overall?
Yeah, so the you know, covered the show grounds first. Show grounds were sick. Like, it's right on a river. You know, we had a little bit of wind. You know, we're out here in desert, and, you know, we get a little bit of wind out here from time to time. We've had a gnarly storm coming through, but, like, just right there on the river, the weather was fantastic. Yeah, we had a little bit of wind here and there, but, like, you know, you had some great green grass, and then you backed up to the river and boats, and, you know, speedboats are huge down there in, like, Arizona and Nevada. Speedboats is it. Like, everywhere else is, like, wakeboard boats, but they're speedboats.
Got
it. You just hear these big old motors just letting them eat, just running down the river and stuff. You know, we're like, hell yeah, we got, you know, cars with big motors here. We got boats with big motors right there. So the venue was fantastic. You know, you got a casino. You know, who doesn't love being at a casino? And then, you know, the show quality was fantastic. Like, realistically, hands down, phenomenal quality of the show. People drove from all over the place, and that was pretty cool to see. You know, saw some negative camber people from Mississippi, you know, there was Colorado, there was Missouri, you know, obviously California and Nevada right there. But from what I was told was the show was kind of like handpicked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you pre-registered, it was 300, capped out at 300, and from what I was, like I said, what I was told was the show was handpicked. So if you don't have the best quality out there handpicking 300, like, there's a problem. But it was sick. It was really a sick show. sick venue. Totally chill people. They held a great show. You know, I get my hats off. Being that we hold the show, we know what goes into it. My hats off to them. So
yeah, and what was cool, like your old stomping ground here where I'm at in Florida, like could you imagine, like, or could you believe, like, all the guys from South Florida, like a lot of, like, Jameel was there. Yeah. You know, you had the local mini guys and stuff, and it was cool to see them fly out. Now, one of the vehicles
that... Some of Relax, Brooke and Lauren were out there from Relax, like, I met up with them, so it was cool.
And I was surprised, like, there were people that I wouldn't think that would have flown out, and I was looking through the feed, and I was like, they're there, too. I mean, I was like, it's been a while since I've seen a show, to be totally honest, with that many... You know, when people are like paying, you know, $200-$500 for a plane ticket to fly to Vegas and then cruise over, you know, the show is going to be like, you know, pretty epic.
Yeah. Well, and then what was the show a couple weeks ago? I know some of the Mini Madness crew went in Alabama.
Oh, yes, the Orange Beach Invasion.
That's it, yeah. So the dude who holds that, I want to say his name is Greg Miller. Yeah.
And then Robbie from Keg Media, too, helped.
Yep. He was there. So, I'm like cruising around, walking the show, and like I'm sitting there, I'm like, I know that dude. I know I see him at Slamfest every year. So I just tap him on the shoulder and say, what's up, you know? And I was like, you come to Slamfest every year, don't you? And we just hit it off and started talking for a couple minutes, and really, really cool dude.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to make it out to his show from what I heard. It was pretty dope, too. So, it was super cool to see Alabama, Florida, like all the different states representing that show was really cool.
Yeah, it was killer. Now, before we started the recording, I run, as some of the Airhead Nation knows, like C30 Addict, because I'm a huge dually fan. And that includes really the 3500s, the newer ones. But one of the trucks there that kind of stuck out, I know Jameel took a ton of photos, but if you go on Instagram, it's Slammed, but it's SLA and then MMMD. 99, so Slammed 99. There's a guy named Rodney from Aftermath, Colorado, as you mentioned.
Colorado, yep.
And he's got Scooby's old dually, and that thing was looking fresher than ever, man.
Dude, it looked good. Because, like, I've seen it a couple times in the past, and, you know, we had talked about, like, some of the bodywork was starting to crack out, which... You know, the truck's been
from
driven.
Dragon and stuff. Yeah, exactly.
It's been, you know, it's been driven. Like, it's not a trailer queen. It's been driven.
Oh, yeah.
Like, shoot, we were seeing that thing in Greenville in, like, what, 02, 03?
Yes, yep.
You know, and here it is, 2017. Like, yeah, it's going to
still relevant. Yep.
Yeah, it's going to get beaten up a long time. But, like, so I saw it in kind of its downside a couple years ago. It laid out. And then, you know, I was just, like, seeing what I picked out before and see if it was fixed. And whoever did the paintwork matched it. Fantastic. Like, that truck looks good. It's still schooling you, and I don't care what they want to call it now.
Yep.
Schooling you is one of my favorite trucks of all time, because I love that, like, West Coast wild style, like, crazy travel graphics and stuff like that. You know, I love that stuff, and so that truck kind of set it off for me, and I still love seeing it.
Yeah, man. And when I look at, like, you know, you kind of pointed this out, but, you know, you looked at, like, NC, you had No Regrets, you had Severed, you had RA, I mean, you name it. I mean, tons of other clubs. You had local minis representing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, as you know, we've been going to shows a long time. Mini truckers, you know, most of them love to drink. I know I used to drink a lot at mini truck shows, but it was kind of cool, right, because the people could park, and you were there all weekend. It was one of those. I remember back in the day on the East Coast, I think it was in Kentucky, one of the shows I never got to go to, it was where I think Prime Media or whoever owned Mini Trucking at the time, they threw that show in Kentucky, right?
Yeah,
and they invited all those cover trucks. And people kind of said, you know, you park and then you're done, you know, and I know TC talks about that, I think, up at for the Detroit Autorama and stuff. But that has to be kind of cool, you know, as from a show perspective.
Well, especially there, it's really cool because, like, you're staying where the show's being held. So you really don't need to go anywhere. Granted, it's Laughlin. Like, there's not a ton of, like, other things you can do.
Yep.
But, like, so you parked at the show. It's not like you had to park at the show and then get a rental car to go back to your hotel. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, all that stuff was there. So that's kind of really cool portion of that venue. And I can understand they don't want everybody going in and out, you know, because it's still a casino. They still need to hold their standards and keep their grounds looking nice and stuff like that. So if everybody was driving in and out every single day, you know, you're gonna get people dragging, you're gonna get them tearing up the grass. Like, they can't have that, you know what I mean? So
yeah, it's like a multi-million dollar resort.
Right, you know, so you can't really, you know, down either side, you know, is good for everybody.
Yeah, for sure. Well, for our friend Brian Good and the whole Forbidden Fantasy crew, You can follow Brian at Grindr_TV on Instagram. The great thing is I'm hearing kind of two thumbs up. So, you know, keep it up, guys. I mean, the show, I know Vier, our friends over there, Morgan Vier, they helped sponsor it, and or they were the title sponsor. So I think, you know, they'll continue to hopefully have a great success. But as we transition in the interview, Graham, I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about Utah, right? So, you know, you talked about, you know, kind of going back. Now, you were super awesome at SEMA. For SEMA week last week, you know, we get you get burned out when you're there for a full week, and I'm getting like drunk woozy off of vehicles, right? Especially these awesome lifted trucks and everything. So, you know, Mike Murray and the mayor and the Mini Madness crew, you guys kind of worked out like, hey, let's go out to Graham's place. Let's tear it up out in the, I think it was like, was it Washington State Park?
Yeah. Well, I live in Washington City, but the Sand Hollow. Sand Hollow's the park, yeah.
Yeah, and dude, so that, like, for me, I'm still talking about it. I took some video, and I haven't really posted it yet, but, I mean, when Graham says, come out to Sand Hollow, and, you know, you're going to ride in some side-by-sides, you know, I'm going to get together. You know, everybody pitched in a few bucks, and we got a four-wheeler. We had the side-by-sides. You had a couple Jeeps, and I think there was a Tacoma. Dude, that was so much fun, man.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, you know, I've been trying because – so I've been living out here since 2000.
Yep.
And the only time anybody ever comes out to visit is for SEMA, you know, which is easy. And that's cool to me because, like, Vegas is an hour and a half away. So you get two trips in one. You get to go to Vegas, and then you get to come see me, too. And, bro, like, what we did that weekend, we can do any weekend.
Hell,
like,
yeah.
Like, we can pack up any weekend you want to pack. You know, if you want to do summer stuff, we got the lake right there, which y'all saw. But it was, you know, too cold. We couldn't go swimming, cliff diving, and things like that. But, bro, we got stuff every single day. We can do whatever we want all year round.
Yes. You know what I mean? And I know, and like, I know I was freaking out because you were like, hey, we're going to go to this other place. And I'm like, you know, my OCD's kicking. I'm like, how long is it going to take and everything? But you took us to that other spot that was unbelievable, man. What was that spot again? Where we drove for like an hour and a half and we got lunch?
Where we went to eight. So that's Zion National Park. Zion. That's one of the, like... Yeah, that's one of the biggest national parks in the country. Like, people come from all over the world to come to Zion National Park, and it's in my backyard.
Dude, that was so much fun. And we got to see all this art, like this guy that took those unbelievable photos that they sell and stuff. Yeah. I mean, I tell you, for Utah, for anybody that hasn't been out there, man, Airhead Nation, you got to link up with Graham. You know, I'm sure he'll show you around, but I'm telling you, just you got to go out there and visit. That Hollow State Park, man, was just unbelievable. Dude, the sand and getting after it in the side-by-sides, man, I don't think I've ever had more fun, bro.
Yeah, it's a good time, you know, and you know, if you do it the way that we did it, it's a lot easier, you know what I mean? Everybody kind of tosses in a couple bucks, and you know, you can rent the machines, and everybody gets to go have some fun, and like, you can do a lot of stuff in a day here, you know, like, a couple days here is perfect, you know what I mean? But you can really do a lot of fun things here, and that's part of the reason why I wanted to be back here. Don't get me wrong, you can do a lot of cool stuff in Florida too.
Yeah,
there's
it's
a lot of
different
stuff in Florida
stuff
you got to deal with. Well, yeah, for sure. But like, there's a lot of stuff in Florida that like I don't want to deal with anymore. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like every place has their problems. But like, let's be real. Like, the drug problem is getting real bad and stuff like that. Like, I just didn't want to deal with that no more. And now I deal with it anyway, just not in such a large scale. So.
Right. No, I hear you. And you know, one thing I wanted to kind of mention too is, you know, Vic and I talked about this a little bit, but when it's fantastic, like, we're getting ready to go to Battle in Bama, and we're going to have, you know, we're going to have a great time. And the cool thing is that when you can go to a show and you can couple some other type of event, whether you got your wife and kids with you or, you know, you're rolling solo. So like, when we went to SEMA, yeah, you can spend 4 or 5 days there and still not see everything. But I was like, you know what? I've seen everything. I've walked, I don't know how many miles that my phone told me I had walked. It was just great to be able to say, you know, for one day, we're going to just kind of scratch that day off and we're going to go do something that wasn't that far, like you said, hour and a half.
Yeah.
So whether, you know, all these different shows, there's all kinds of different places you can go visit. So, you know, for me as a meat trucker, you know, that's getting a little bit older, man, it was great to step away and just have a fantastic time. So, man, I say thanks again, man, for really having us, bro.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And y'all are welcome out every year. You know what I mean? I hope everybody comes out. You know, it's a week long show. If everybody took a day and come stay at my house, we can get it figured out. You know what I mean?
Like, dude, yeah.
So it'll be fun. But like, you know, to touch on what you're saying though, that's what I love about my club and like, you know, other clubs, and you say you're maybe getting older, you know, maybe that's why it is this way. But like, I love filling my life. Like, mini trucking is not my life. Is it a huge part of my life? Is it something that I'll love forever? Absolutely.
Yep.
But it's not the only thing in my life I love. And I believe that that's something that you need. You need a balance. You need something that you love and something you enjoy and something you just kind of like. You know what I mean? So you're not just burnt out on one thing. You know?
And you know, Randy Johnson, he does a Risk Without Regret podcast, and I've heard him talk a little bit about that. And even myself, I've tried to kind of say, listen, you know, I love mini trucking so much, but you know, how can I contribute to the scene? I'm going to do a podcast. Okay, great. You know, I'm not a web developer. You know, I could figure it out, but that's not what I do all day. Or I'm not a photographer, so to speak. Right? I love to take photos. So this was like my way to contribute. So to your point, you know, you have to have something in life that, you know, makes you maybe a little bit creative, like what Randy was saying before, or where you feel creative. You know, you got your stuff that makes your money, but you have to have different hobbies. You know, it can't just be eggs in one basket. So, but yeah. As we transition, you know, a little bit into the mini trucking topic, so this kind of ties right in, right, Graham? So if I were to ask you, and, you know, you got the Schwami hat on and you got the crystal ball, you know, where do you see mini trucking in 15 or 20 years, man?
You know, I think it's going to transition. Actually, let me back up a little bit. Like, what I've been seeing the past few years is the quality of vehicles is huge compared to what it was in the early 2000s. Like, there was some sick stuff in the early 2000s, and it started getting really nice, really nice, really nice. And then the economy kind of tanked, and then everybody was still in it, but they just didn't have the money to do what they're doing now.
Yep.
You know, and now everybody's kind of got those finances back in track, and they're building super nice stuff. Like, shoot, there's people dropping cash on vehicles right now. You know what I mean?
For sure.
And so I think it's going to take a little while. I don't know if it's 10, 15, 20 years, but it's going to be a little while, and we're going to take over Turkey Rod Run. Like, Turkey Rod Run's going to be trucks like ours, cars like ours. You know what I mean? Because I would put a lot of the vehicles that are being built right now right next to some of those super nice vehicles at Turkey Rod Run.
Oh, for sure,
like,
man.
And events like that, and like some of those good guy shows and things like that. Like, some of our vehicles, you can't even fathom what they're doing nowadays. So I think we're going to kind of just replace those people and those vehicles. And I think we're just going to slide right in there one day.
Yeah, for sure. And mini truckers, I think, you know, I'm going to make a couple points, but I think mini truckers, they've kind of moved on, and they're smart enough to know that, you know, some mini truckers like a Mitch Henderson, right? He's moved on to be a successful builder, and he's building Lincolns and Cadillacs and Corvettes. And, you know, you can bring that mini truck theme to some of those vehicles, right? But not everyone, you know, hits 40 years old and says, I want to drive an 89 Toyota that's bagged, you know, and body dropped. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
The other thing, the way I could sum it up is there's a guy named Chris, I think I'm saying his name right, Chris Gilder, and he's in No Regrets. And if you look at on Instagram, it's NR for No Regrets _ my MMERY loss, like my memory loss. Well, when I was at SEMA last year, the best way I could sum it up is I remember one mini truck, that's it. Now, I walked the showgrounds about 1.5-2 times, and I'm talking everything. And if I would almost be willing to put money, I think there was one, literally one mini truck at the entire SEMA show. Now, some people would say mini trucking's dead. Mini trucking's not dead. You know, the arguments like Florida versus Florida State. The way I look at it is mini truckers have gotten a little bit older, gotten a little bit wiser, and they're doing different things.
We've evolved.
Right, we've evolved.
We've evolved. Like, just because it's not a mini truck doesn't mean it's not a mini truck. My Titan was a full-size truck, but it's still a mini truck.
Right.
You know what I mean? In my eyes.
And yeah, so when you look at Chris Gilder's Mazda that he had there, you know, he's got the chassis that comes down the middle of the truck with this independent rear end, rotary power.
And it's the unibody, like.
Yeah, and you look at the truck, and it's utter amazement. And like, for me, like, I look at it and say, okay, I know it's a mini truck, but it's almost not a mini truck. It's almost like a race car with this, you know, mini truck body on it. You know what I mean? So mini truckers, to your point, they've evolved, and it's just gotten so insane. There's so much talent. There's so much, you know, sharing of knowledge on the internet. And then also the tools and the resources have just exploded.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And the people's skills, like what they're doing nowadays. Like, it's nuts the things that people are doing nowadays compared to when we were just starting. You know what I mean? Bro, we were on quarter inch manual valves. Now they got like AccuAir, one button, it lifts up to your ride height.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
For
one
sure.
Button, it'll put you at your cruise height. Oh, you know, like.
Yeah, it's exactly.
We couldn't have fathomed that back in the day. So the stuff they're doing nowadays, and look at Little Shop. Look at what Eric's doing with like laser freaking voodoo, whatever it is he's
yeah.
doing, and building chassis without even thinking about it.
Right.
That's
yeah.
going to change the game. Like,
yeah.
I don't even know what to say about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you don't have to. Like, when you talk about quarter inch lines earlier, the best thing about quarter inch lines were they were like zero leaks, right? And your truck stayed up for like months and months and months. But now, like, yeah. like to your point with AccuAir and things like that, you've got companies and you have technology that's grown to the point where it's amazing. You can call Porterbilt Fab or, you know, one of these guys, one of these shops, GSI, and you can order all the stuff for your C10. And granted, they're back ordered a little bit, but you can have pretty much like this truck on the ground like in a weekend, you know, after you get the parts.
Yeah.
So to me, that's really blown up. And I did want to give one shout out while we're on the subject of quote mini trucking. For everyone out there, make sure you check out, it's Mini Trucking Is Not Dead. And there's an underscore between Mini Trucking Is Not Dead. So it's kind of like four different words. But there's a guy out there running this page, and I told him I'd give him a shout out. What a good dude. And I think he's got about 932 followers, but he's got some really cool photos he's sharing out there, so make sure everyone gives him a follow.
And for anybody who thinks mini trucking's dead, go to SEMA. If you believe like I believe that this, it doesn't have to necessarily be an S10, a hard body, you know, Tacoma, like anything like that. If you believe that that doesn't necessarily make it a mini truck, and you believe mini trucking's dead, look at the pictures from SEMA. Everything's on airbags, everything's on big wheels, everything's doing what we do. You know what I mean? So it doesn't necessarily have to be a small truck to be a mini truck.
100%. And when you look at like some of the Craig Elder's lifted vehicles in late 90s, like more early 2000s, you know, he had an Excursion that was unbelievable when you look at everything was painted and powder coated. But the wheels, like I posted a photo of it. You know, I love posting old school photos on Our Lifestyle, the podcast page. And it was funny because, you know, a lot of guys will come and they'll comment and they'll make stupid comments. Well, one of the guys commented like, yeah, the wheels look like, you know, they're pretty much, they're stupid because look how small they are. But yeah, if you think about
but that was in the 90s. That was in like 90s.
Yeah.
Like, remember he had the big old like either Excursion or Expedition that he hauled the Astro van and the Lincoln on that double car hauler, and everything matched. Everything was orange. Everything was friggin' dope. Like, that was 97. They didn't have 22s back then.
Right.
So
and then if
what
you
were
think
you
about
supposed
it,
to put on it?
Exactly. The American Force now, like with all these lifted trucks with these huge, you know, the wheels.
Yeah, 26
you know,
isn't better.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of crazy how it's came from. I mean, it really kind of has its origins, just like hot rodding has its origins from, you know, back in the day, you know, with guys doing different things, like way before, you know, air suspension and mini trucker. So it's crazy how things evolve. But do you think, you know, as far as mini trucking, right? You know, I think of motorcycle guys as, you know, you got the kind of the Hell's Angels, and they're the crazy guys, and they're drinking beers and raising hell, right, in a good way.
Yeah.
I got nothing against that, as long as they're keeping the peace. But, you know, do you think like mini truckers, so you kind of talked a little bit about it, but one of the aspects of going to shows is, you know, the weekend celebrity. It's, you know, everybody's out drinking and this and that. And I know not everybody
letting
drinks.
Letting hair down, cutting loose. Yeah.
So do you see the mini truckers of yesteryear? Like, are we going to be 80 in wheelchairs and gray hair, like just saying mini truck until
you know,
we die?
I think we are, you know, because like I said, I think we're going to move in to the people that fall out, like at the shows, like Turkey Rod Run, things like that. Like, I like that show. I like to use that show because that show was traditionally a hot rod show. And like, they didn't allow any new vehicles in. Now they're like, this stuff's kind of dope. Like, let's let some of these in, you know what I mean? And like, so I think like, as they kind of pan out, we're just going to slide right in. And then that's going to be our hot rod show. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you bring up like a great point, because someone this week posted, I don't know if it was Roro or who it was, but someone posted about how the good guys are going to open up. They're going to bump it out a few more years, I think, now.
Yeah.
So you're going to have more like the 80 C10s, and, you know, I think they're almost to like the 88 to 98s now. You know what I mean? That that infancy of it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I hate to say it, but like 98 was almost 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like, those vehicles are starting to be old. But like the people who are having those like 50s and 60s vehicles, like they're going to start being too old where they're not going to shows anymore, which means we are still going to be going to shows. And then we're going to be those old guys. We're going to be those old guys with the 98. You know, we're going to have that 98 full size or whatever, or a 2002 full size, but we're going to have it in like 2030. You know what I mean? So dude, like we're going to be those old guys.
You talk about hardcore, man. That's right where it's at. So answer me this then. Are the kids of like my son's age, like in 20, 25 years, are they going to be like, man, Dad, I just want a 2015 Hyundai, man. I just want, you know what? I want the first gen Prius, man. All original batteries, man. Like, is that going to be? No, you don't have to answer that. But seriously, I think it's crazy.
It could be. I think there's automotive is always going to be a thing.
Right, right.
Because you want to know why? Because chicks dig cars.
Yeah, man.
The dudes are always going to want to have that nice car. They're always going to want to have that nice car so they can get the girl.
Or
let's be real.
I like that. I like that. Or what's going to happen? I swear there's going to be an influx in the future where people are going to be like, man, I got this 67 Lincoln and I've got it all converted. Not the hover conversion like in Back to the Future 2. It's going to be like all electric, you know? It's like, man, it's going to look all original, but it's like, man, dude, it runs on this like little motor that's like 2 inches big, you know, or some craziness.
And you might, but I think you're going to have that in everything. You're going to have those people that are like, look what I did. Right. But then you're going to have those traditionalists.
Yep.
That are like, I'm not taking that motor out of it.
Yeah, screw that. Like, kind of like the Hell's Angels.
$5 a gallon.
Yeah. The Hell's Angels, the true, you know, the outlaws, man. I mean, you're not taking no motorcycle from them, those dudes, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So, but love for those guys.
I think you'll have both. I think you'll have the traditional diehards, and then you're going to have those ones that keep up with the times. They got to have that new. They got to do what's the hotness now. And I don't know. So I think it'll be a good mix like it is now. You know what I mean?
I do, man. Well, so as we kind of talk about the last topic, which this one's kind of like Florida versus Florida State, Ford versus Chevy, Android versus iPhone, you name it, blue versus yellow. I don't know. I'm making the shit up now. But so, you know, if I ask Graham, built versus bought, I mean, what's the true verdict, man? Because I know we could get different answers from different guys, but what do you think?
Oh, yeah,
man?
Everybody's going to have their different answer. I'll even tell you, me, 10 years ago, built only. You got no respect if you bought it until I built one.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Or built a couple. You know what I mean? Like, God, like I'm back in the market now. I want something again. I need something again, you know? But like, I just, you know, finances, I'm not a rich dude. I go to work every day and I work hard and I bring home some money. You know
yep.
what I mean?
Yep.
And like, I don't have the money to do a full build. I just don't.
No,
as much
hear
as
you.
I would like it. I just don't. So like, if I can find something that's already got the meat and potatoes done and I can add some vegetables and I can add the seasoning, you know what I mean? Like, I'm for it.
Yeah, man. Like, big pot of gumbo, man. Yeah, for real.
You know what I mean? But like, just to like buy something, just to buy something and drive it, I still think you need to do what you need to do to make it yours. But I do believe that there's vehicles out there, like schooling you, that you don't change. Like, that's an iconic vehicle. And if you want to buy a vehicle, make it your own, don't buy that one. You know what I mean?
100% I do. And I think like the thing that I've noticed too is with an influx of like SEMA builds every year, right? You know, for guys that have an unlimited amount of funds, you know, you could easily go buy a SEMA build from like Chris Stafford for Stafford's Garage. You know, he had one and I think he has one up now for like 75, 80 grand, you know, brand new Chevy lifted. And if someone did all the numbers, you couldn't build it for that much, right?
No,
but the point
no,
that I'm making
not.
Is that like there's a lot of nice vehicles out there that people have built, and you can get, as you're kind of indicating, a solid quality vehicle. Here's a perfect example. I guess a little plug. My wife has a 2009 Charger, and about 5 years ago, we bagged it. I got some parts from a friend that was basically looking to kind of trade his car in or sell it. And since then, I've kind of slowly updated it. Now it's got Acura and stuff. And the car, it's got the Megan Racing struts on it, universal airbags. It rides fantastic. I just drove it to St. Augustine, but we're going to put it up for sale and we're going to sell it. And for whatever, you know, someone buys it for, they're going to get a good deal. Someone that's looking for, they don't want to mess with anything. The point is that if they just went and bought a 2009 Charger and then they took it to like Jimmy's Running Customs, you know, they're going to have some more, a couple thousand dollars in it, because it costs money for people's time and things like that. So to your point, yeah. I mean, there's definitely deals out there to be had.
For sure, for sure. But yeah, I am a firm believer that unless you buy one of those iconic vehicles, screwing you, your truck, you know what I mean? Like, let's say Jimmy were to sell his dually,
right.
You would have to do something to make a change to, or you wouldn't have to do something to make a change on those vehicles. But if you bought just a standard vehicle, you know, that's got the bag, it's got a body drop, whatever the case may be, do something to change it up, make it yours. You know what I mean?
For
and then
sure.
ride bot all day long. You know what I mean? But if you buy an iconic vehicle, I believe those need to stay what they are.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Graham. So, you know, I think it's always an interesting topic, and I think the great thing is that the way the scene's evolved, there's tons of awesome builders out there.
Yeah.
If you've got a little bit of cash, you can get something that's fantastic for the budget. And as we've seen over the years with these different tech articles and things like that, and Street Trucks, C10 Builder's Guide, Truck and Magazine, you could easily get your hand on some parts, to Graham's point, and kind of switch it up. So I really like also, and when we had some previous guests on, including Ronnie from C10 Talk, we talked about like an Arizona. I love like some of the patina trucks. I know not everybody loves them, but like someone that was going to put in 8, 10, 15 grand in a paint job and body work, you know, you can get a truck that looks really cool, hammer it out and drive it and at least have a, you know, have a leg in the game, you know, and not have to feel like you've got a $100,000 vehicle, which you're not going to drive or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
but you can't do that everywhere though. You can't do that in Florida because that thing would go from patina
to rust,
completely rust. You know what I mean? So like, you can do that out here.
It's crazy how it's different because I know you lived in Florida a long time, and when I go out there, I'm like, man, you talk about dry heat. When Vic and I went to Severn in the Southwest 2013, I mean, I was like, I was blown away. And you mentioned the wind earlier, the wind in Arizona. I'm going, holy crap, man! It's like 5 a.m. I'm freezing. Like, I thought this was the desert, so.
Yeah.
But, Graham, you know, in all seriousness, it's fantastic to sit down with you. I know, you know, you're a busy guy. You got your career going on out there. But you're, you know, you're also the type of guy that'd be willing to, you know, help anybody out. And I've always known that about you. And I know that you're, you know, like you said, you're real passionate about the scene. So I know it took us a little bit of time, but we finally got this interview in the books. And we're going to run this on the hardcore episode. So we just want to thank you, man, and just see if there was anything else you wanted to say, bro.
Nah, man, I appreciate it. You know, I love being a part of it. I love, you know, just sitting and talking trucks, and sometimes that's what you need, you know,
to get through,
you know, and it's especially good for me right now because I'm kind of in the market for something again. And it just like really kind of sets my fire going. It really wants me to drive towards making that happen. You know what I mean? So I really appreciate it, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, what Graham's basically saying is flood his Facebook with anything you want on. No, we're just kidding. But yeah, in all seriousness, I mean, there's some cool stuff out there. And if anybody has any good ideas for Graham, he is a Nissan fan, wink wink, make sure you send it our way and we'll make sure we get it over to Graham. But you know, it's always a pleasure.
My Titan's back up for sale again too.
He just
texted me the other day and he's like, hey, you know, if you're putting it up for sale, you get first dibs if you want.
Nice.
And I'm like, it's still hard not to pull that trigger, but I don't know, it's still there, it's still an idea.
Yeah, I think it was an Acro dude has. I saw my old Suburban at laid out at the park. Speaking of that, that's this weekend. So about a year ago, I saw it. We were up at the local Buffalo Wild Wings up there, and I was like, I know that's my Suburban. And I was kind of scoping, and I was like, ah, you must have put a roof rack back. And there were some subtle differences, but it turns out it was. And he hit me up, and it's not easy for me to say no. I'm sure just like you. And the guy was like, man, I'm going to put it up for sale. And I was like, man, I just got a 79 C30 that my wife let me buy. And I'm like, I can't be bringing anything home. I already look like Sanford and Son at my house, dude. You know what I mean? It's looking pretty ratchet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but listen, man, we appreciate you and, anything you need, Graham, like we told, Billy earlier, you just give us a shout and we got your back, like chiropractic. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man, for sure.
All right, homie. We appreciate you. Airhead Nation. We out ya.
For real, man. See ya. Thanks.
Yo, it's ODB, and you made it to the end of episode 32. Congratulations. So hopefully you enjoyed Brian Good, the man behind Forbidden Fantasy and Grindr TV. Also, Graham Hancock from Mini Madness. So huge shout out to both of them for their time. Definitely want to just say, hey, thanks to Sparkles Detail. the clean team that supports the scene, as the mayor would say. Make sure you check out Sparkle's Detail at shows nationwide or on sparklesdetail.com. Grindr-TV.com. Pre-order Volume 3. Support the real that support the scene. Also, in the news plaques, make sure when Ryan hits you up, when your truck's featured, or if you've got an old magazine that you want to get done, reach out to us or reach out to Ryan Sumner on Facebook. Or you could, like I said, shoot us a message and we'll get you in contact with Ryan. He'll hook you up. Also, Vier Corp. So big shout out to Morgan Vier. We saw you out there. We saw Vier sponsoring Forbidden Fantasy Show and Shine 2017. You know how they do. So we're going to be hitting you guys real soon with episode 33. We're going to do a mic drop. You can't hear it. You can't see it. But just know ODB's doing it. Y'all peace out. Right?